All right. Thank you, John. Good morning, everyone. Happy Mother's Day, moms. Really loved that blessing Dustin was sharing over just all of the different. There's no cookie cutter, mom. There's just the way God made you. And we love that. I'm going to be speaking today on the faith of a mom and the impact of that, tremendous impact of that. There's something for everyone today, so don't worry if you're not a mom. You have a mom, and there's principles that God wants to teach us, all of us, in a certain way. But, you know, as we're getting ready to do this, dive into the Word this morning, a couple of weeks ago, I came across this video. Rachel showed it to me, my wife Rachel, and it was just so funny because this young man, maybe 18, 19 years old, and I think he's having his wisdom teeth out, and he's coming out of anesthesia, and his dad's talking to him, and it's just a really fun video when he kind of realizes that, you know, the blessings in his life. So if we can roll that real quick, let's just check that out this morning.
Is that a nice chair?
Yeah.
Yeah, is it better than the one you have at home?
I have a chair at home?
Yeah, you have a chair.
I have a chair for myself?
Yeah.
No way.
Remember, mom and dad bought it for you.
I have a mom? Oh, my God.
Do you know who I am?
Yeah.
Who am I?
I'm
your dad.
Oh, my God. I'm your dad.
You know you have two sisters, too.
Oh, my God. Where are they?
Well, they're at work.
Oh,
they gotta work.
I can't believe I have sisters.
And you have a dog?
Oh, my God.
Is that cool? He's a big dog.
Oh, my God. I love big dogs.
Do you remember his name?
What's his name?
His name is Bane.
Oh, my God. Just like Batman. Oh, my God. God. Oh, my God. My life is perfect.
Oh. All right. Isn't that fun? My life is perfect. I think there's something so precious about that, honestly. You know, his guard's a little down because he's coming out of anesthesia. He doesn't remember everything. He's kind of learning about what he has in his life. But so much gratitude, right? Just so much gratitude. I have a mom! I have a dog! My life is perfect. And I think that when we're remembering mom, or we're talking about Father's Day, or just any of those things, it's so important to be grateful from the absolute bottom of our hearts, to walk in gratitude towards the way God has blessed us in our lives, to walk in gratitude towards God and towards other people. And last time I looked, nobody had a perfect mom. And you might be thinking, well, I didn't have a, maybe your relationship with your mom wasn't what you'd hoped, if there's, like, gratitude in your heart, it has a way of just healing that in your life. And it has a way of allowing the blessing that God wants to continue to give you through your parents and the legacy through your parents to just transfer into your life. And so I want to encourage you to be grateful. And just be grateful for all your blessings. Like, I have a church! Wait! We have a worship team! They lead us every week in worship. I was preaching about the Old Testament the other day when they found the book of the law in Bible college in Josiah. They didn't know they had a Bible. Like, we have a Bible. We get to have the Passover. Okay, so really important to just keep that attitude of gratitude. Amen. Okay, so this morning I want to speak to you about this topic of faith. And when we look through Scripture, there's so many great moms and dads in Scripture. There's examples of a mother's love, a mother's faith, a mother's care. And this morning, I'd like to take a look at a mother that showed incredible physical and spiritual nurture for her baby boy. And this boy would grow up to speak to God face to face. This boy would grow up to be a man that brought an entire nation out of slavery in Egypt and into an encounter with God in the wilderness, where they'd get ready to go into the promised land. And that mom's name, if you look at Exodus 6, her name was Jochebed. I don't know if that's the pronunciation in Hebrew, but that's how we're going to say it in English. And her husband's name was Omran, and her children were Miriam, Aaron, and Moses. And what I want to do is read to you a portion of Scripture from both the Old and New Testaments, beginning in Exodus chapter 2, and we're going to pick up in verse 1. It says this, "And a man of the house of Levi went and took as a wife a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank." This would be the Nile River in Egypt. "And his sisters stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.' Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' So the maiden went out and called the child's mother. And then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages.' And so the woman took the child and nursed him. And the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, 'Because I drew him out of the water.'" So this is an incredible story. And if you read chapter 1 of Exodus, you see that in chapter 1, there was a command given from Pharaoh to actually kill the male children in Egypt. And they were afraid because the children of the more they were suffering in Egypt, the more they just kept growing. God's blessing was on them, and Pharaoh began to fear them. And so he has this state-sponsored policy to really eliminate certain parts of the population so they can't keep growing and outnumbering the Egyptians. And we see what happened here with Moses' mother and what she did to get around that. Now, let's read in Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to read this in the Message translation. It's not that far off from some of the other translations, and it has a little more color in it for this morning. But Hebrews 11:23 says this, "By an act of faith," everyone say act of faith, "by an act of faith, Moses' parents hid him away for 3 months after his birth. They saw the child's beauty, and they braved the king's decree. By faith, Moses, when grown, refused the privileges of the Egyptian royal house. He chose a hard life with God's people rather than an opportunistic, soft life of sin with the oppressors. He valued suffering in the Messiah's camp far greater than Egyptian wealth because he was looking ahead, anticipating the payoff. And by an act of faith, he turned his heel on Egypt, indifferent to the king's blind rage. He had his eye on the one no eye can see and kept right on going." All right, so I just point out in that verse that it says he was hidden 3 months by his parents. And so what I want to say today, it of course speaks to both parents, but we're going to highlight mom's role this morning in looking at this story. But it was both Moses' parents, both his mom and dad, that hid him. And what happened is they hid him until they couldn't hide him anymore. And that's when Jochebed made this ark of bulrushes and hid him in the reeds in the Nile River. The king's command was actually to throw the babies in the river without an ark. Well, she put him in the river with an ark. And the Lord arranged it so not only was she going to be keep on nursing Moses, but she was going to get paid to nurse Moses. So mom's like, "Hey, I didn't get paid to nurse my baby." Jochebed actually got paid to nurse her baby and nurture Moses because of how this all worked out. Now, we're going to talk about this, and I want to make 3 points about it today, starting with number 1. By faith, Jochebed hid, covered, and protected Moses. She hid, covered, and protected Moses. She actually defied the law, an unrighteous, ungodly law, to save her son. She was the mother that refused the king's commandment, because the command of Pharaoh was to throw all the male children in the river but save the daughters alive. But his parents both defied this command in order to preserve his life and raise him in the ways of the Lord. And it says that she made an ark in verse 3. She protected him so that he would float in the same river which the king intended to drown the children in. And what we start to see is this picture of an ark. And what the ark represents for us, an ark is a covenantal relationship with God that extends outside of the physical covering of the home. It's, in other words, more than physical protection. It's a spiritual protection as well. Can you say amen? So she made an ark. By faith, she hid, covered, protected Moses. They hid him in the house. Then they protected him in this ark. Not like Noah's ark with all the animals. A little tiny bassinet type of ark. A little basket. Now this ark in Moses' life kept him afloat in the Nile River and kept him protected. But this ark that we're applying to our children's lives, it's like a covering over their life, even when they're not within the walls of the house. Even when they're out there on the Nile River, or they're at school, or they're playing sports, or they're working, or they're away at school. Mothers in the kingdom of God are called to build this kind of an ark for each one of their kids. This ark lasts so long that the Bible promises, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. That's how long this protection and covering and blessing of this spiritual ark will last. Now, it's important that our homes are a refuge and a safe place of grace and forgiveness and love and faith and the presence of God, all of that. But when we're talking about protecting a child, you know, we can't just keep them at home and keep them sheltered for their whole lives. It has to go beyond that. We need a dynamic. We need an environment. We need an atmosphere that extends beyond the borders of the walls of our house over our children's lives. And she made this ark that preserved and carried a helpless child over what could have destroyed him. And it was an ark that preserved him to God's purpose. And I want to explain something about what this was made out of. This ark was made out of bulrushes, basically papyrus. Egypt does not have forests and trees and wood and all those kinds of things. Not a lot of it anyway, but they have a lot of reeds and rushes. And that's where they made papyrus and made paper and all those kinds of things. And she took this. But this papyrus was normally very absorbent. In other words, it would get waterlogged really fast. So to deal with that tendency to get waterlogged, she daubed it with some slime, which would float on water, and she padded it with tar, which made it waterproof. And what we learn about this ark is this. Prayer, next point, prayer and the Word of God will make your child waterproof and buoyant. Prayer and the Word of God will make your child waterproof and buoyant. Friends, there is something so incredibly powerful about a praying parent, a praying mother, a praying grandmother. Something so incredibly awesome about it. There's nothing like the power of a praying mom. Mothers can pray and establish a covering over their child in the midst of a generation where there is actually an assignment aimed, I believe, at our generation and our children. And there is a prayer covering you can pray over your kids that covers them and causes them to overcome against an assignment that wants to take them out. Now, children on their own are like papyrus. They're very absorbent. And normally they would absorb the influence and the culture of Egypt. Normally they would absorb and take on water. But the Word of God is a shield and it's a covering. And when it's spoken and when it's taught, it has a waterproofing effect. Now, the ark might get wet in the river. The child may be subject to the influence of Egypt, but Egypt's influence is not going to prevail. Okay? That's the picture that we have here. Now, let me give you another application of this, because We're talking about the faithful prayer of a mother giving buoyancy by releasing faith to overcome, and it waterproofs and it inoculates a child's spirit from absorbing this world system. And I want to give an application of what the king was asking for when he said, I want you to throw the children in the river. Because when you think about the word influence, it comes from this Latin word fluere, which means to flow. So this language of influence is a language of flow. It's a language of streams and rivers. Okay, so this is kind of like, if we could almost apply it in this way. We could say that there is a message to parents or to mothers and fathers saying this about our kids. You know what? Just go with the flow of this world system. Just throw them into the flow. Just give them over to us. We'll take it from here. We'll take it from here, Mom. We'll take it from here, Dad. You take care of them physically. You pay the bills. You put a roof over the head. But let us bring your child into the flow and values and thinking of the world. You take care of them physically. We'll do the rest. Give us their minds and hearts. Just go with the flow. This is what it is. And we have all kinds of things in our culture today. And I'm not here to bash on our culture or society, anything like that. I love America. I love many good things about our country, but you know, you don't have to even turn on the TV very long. Or, like, I do not believe in letting your kids be on in an unfiltered way on social media. I believe, like, in child, like, parent, what's the word I'm looking for? Like parent locks on media and on social media. I believe in that. My kids want to get an app, it comes to me, and I've got to approve it. If it says, like, 4+, I'm like, okay. 4 years old plus. No, my kids aren't on Snapchat. No, thank you. No, my kids aren't on a bunch of different things. No, they're not just going to go with the flow. And I don't care. And sometimes they say, you know what, Dad, this person has this app and this person's playing this game and I want to do this. And I'm like, who made you like everyone else? The answer is no. No. No, we're not just going to go with the flow. I'm not saying our kids are like, I don't know, completely Amish or something. It's not like that. Parents need to be involved in the lives of their children. You can't just hand them over into the river and say, you know what, raise yourself. There's something God anointed you to be called a parent. And it's powerful. Make an ark for your kids. Come on, just go with the flow. Well, that just depends on the flow. If it's depends on the river. If it's God's river, I want them to be in it. I want them to be immersed, baptized, filled, all the things pictures you can give. I want them in that river. But if it's not the right river, I don't want that influence getting inside of them. And listen, when we build an ark, when we pray, when we teach the word, they might get a little wet, but they're not going to sink. That's a point of your notes. I want you to note that down. We'll figure out the screens later. They're not going to get wet. They might get a little wet, but they aren't going to sink. All right, build an ark for your little ones in prayer and in the word. Number two, by faith, Jochebed nurtured and cared for Moses. So she became a nurse unto him. And what we see happening here is that God gave Jochebed creative wisdom and a strategic plan to nurture and care for Moses. This is an amazing story. I want to point out that both Amram and Jochebed saw that Moses was a beautiful child. He wasn't an ordinary child. Did you know that no child, I mean, we all know this, but we should be reminded of this. Psalm 139 says that you are and your children are fearfully and wonderfully made. That means there's no such thing as an ordinary child. They saw what was special about Moses. They saw it, they perceived it, and acted accordingly. And they developed, God gave them a download and a plan to nurture their child according to who that child was in God. And I believe this is something that, this is a grace and a gift for every single parent and every single mother, that God wants to give you the prayer strategy. He wants to give you the key words and verses and the declarations and the songs to sing in the night. He wants to give you something beautiful and something very creative wisdom to nurture your child according to who they really are, not just according to whatever it is out there in the world that says, this is how we should do it. Now, there's some good stuff out there. Well, I love all the mom and dad books and what to expect when you're expecting all that. There's tons of good stuff. Lots of research, lots of really beautiful things in the world. But use discernment. Hello. Keep your filter on. Like, don't just unfiltered take anything, any advice from anywhere and say, that's how I'm going to raise my kids. Because it's not all healthy. I'm preaching really well right now. Amen. That's good. I mean, I'm serious. That's a good word. I don't care if it's not a popular word. I don't care. You don't need to. It's okay. I'm okay. What I'm just telling you is this. It doesn't matter if that's popular, if that's people are like, wow, you're so amazing and you're a really good parent. I'm not looking for the world to tell me whether I'm a good parent or not. I'm looking for the best. I'm in the best interest of my kids. And I want the Father, when I'm done and I'm standing before the Lord, to say, well done, good and faithful servant. You stewarded the lives of these children in a way that honored me and honored them. But I just want to make my kid happy and give them whatever they want. Dear Jesus. You're going to give your kid chocolate cake for breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day? You know what I'm saying? I've heard different iterations of what I'm about to say, but if you focus on being a good parent to your child, you'll end up being their friend. You focus on being their friend, you might not have a good relationship in the long run. Because in the effort to be their friend and to please them, which is really a form of the fear of man, only the one you're afraid of is this little bundle of joy. In an effort to please them, what happened was they weren't nurtured in the way that was healthy for them. So, I think I'm preaching to the choir, and I know that, but I just want to strengthen something inside of you today. So when I say I'm preaching good, what I'm trying to say is I want to strengthen this value inside of you, Mom. That you holding a line on certain things, because to nurture your child, to nurture them in who they are in Christ and who they are in the Lord, and to really think about the nutritional value of what's going into their system is, that's a beautiful thing, and it's a godly thing. I'm going to give a picture of this. Obviously, the nurturing begins in the womb. The womb is that first arc of safety and life and development. And then that nurturing continues outside the womb as a mother's love is shown through all the sleepless nights and days of nursing and faithfully caring for and sacrificially loving that child as they grow. And nursing is a symbol of nurturing. It's the way the nutrition and health and immunity of the mother is imparted to the baby. And dads help. And I love involved dads. Dad, you need to be involved, but let's also acknowledge that mothers have a special closeness and bond with the one they carry in the womb and then nurture outside of the womb. That is a unique and special God-given bond, and mothers play a role, especially in those early days, that fathers just can't play. I mean, that's obvious, right? I know it's all about gender equality, but can we also acknowledge the beautiful gender differences for a second today? Was that okay with everybody? There's a way that mothers nurture that is so beautiful and wonderful. And yeah, pump, dad, get up in the night, do the bottle feeding, do all that, get involved, let your wife sleep. But let's just be honest, that is a beautiful, beautiful connection a mom shares with the baby. And we know that whatever mom eats while she's carrying her baby in the womb gets passed to that child as well, in a sense. So moms are like, oh, baby didn't like that very much. Baby gets a little restless when you're eating all of that tapatio sauce and sriracha. And that continues during nursing. And that's part of the physical bond. I'd like to propose to you that just like there's a physical bond with physical nutrition and nutrients passing to that child and physical nurture going to the child, there's also a spiritual bond with spiritual nurture and spiritual nutrients being passed to the child. I want to show you real quick an example of that in a story in Luke 1, verse 39 through 45. The story of John that became John the Baptist, baby John, in Elizabeth's womb, shows us that what mothers partake of spiritually can also get imparted to their child, even in utero, and become a powerful influence upon them, inside and outside. Look at this story. Luke 1:39. Now Mary arose in those days. This is after she received this announcement that she was going to give birth to Jesus. She arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. Elizabeth, by the way, was her older relative or older cousin, maybe second or third cousin. Verse 41. So Mary comes in and says, "Shalom, Elizabeth," or whatever the greeting was. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary. Let me fill you in on this. And it happened when Elizabeth, who is pregnant with John, heard the greeting of Mary, who is pregnant with Jesus, that the babe leaped in Elizabeth's womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Listen, Mary had not sent her an email saying, "Hey, I'm pregnant, and I want you to know." This is a prophetic word, Elizabeth getting a word of knowledge and a download that Mary was pregnant. "Blessed is the fruit of your womb, but why is this granted me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." This is a powerful moment. Elizabeth is just finishing her second trimester. Mary is in the beginning of her first trimester. Elizabeth is carrying baby John in her womb, and she's filled with the Holy Spirit. But it says right here, the baby leaped for joy when it heard Mary's voice outside the womb. The Bible says in Luke 1 that John was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb, implying, I think, that it could have happened while he was still inside. This very well could have been in utero Jesus baptizing in utero John in the Holy Spirit. We don't know that for sure. I'm just saying it could be. But what we do know is this. Elizabeth was definitely filled with the Holy Spirit, and John definitely leaped for joy inside of her womb because of being touched by the Spirit of God. My point is, the encounter that Elizabeth had with the Holy Spirit touched little baby John's spirit too. What happened with her spiritually impacted and influenced her baby in her womb spiritually. It is not just physical nurture that we provide our children, mom, that you provide your child, but it is spiritual nurture. There is something that you receive as you draw on your Abba, as you draw on your Father, that you're carrying in your life and in your heart, that it can be transferred to your baby and child and so on and so forth through the nurture that you provide for them as you train them up and raise them and care for them as a mom. Jochebed was able to stay home as the paid nurse of Pharaoh's daughter, raising her own boy. And Jochebed had probably more opportunity to nurture and care for Moses as his nurse than his dad did. His dad was a slave, probably out for days at a time in hard forced labor. But Jochebed had this other job. She got to be a mom to nurture and to shape Moses' life. That brings us to number three. By faith, Jochebed imparted... She imparted a godly heritage. How do we know that? Well, it says in Acts 7:23, enough to turn there and it won't be on the screen, but it says in Acts 7:23 that it came into Moses' heart to visit his brethren. Now, Moses is raised as a prince in Egypt. He is raised as a Pharaoh-to-be. He is raised as somebody that has all of the learning and education and wealth and power and influence and status of an Egyptian prince. So what does it mean that it came into his heart to visit his brethren and then he visits the Hebrews? How did he know who his brethren were? Where did Moses get his sense of identity? How did those seeds get planted in the first place? How did he know who he really was? Because his mother imparted a spiritual legacy to him, a spiritual godly heritage to him. I believe that when it came into his heart to visit his brethren, that the Holy Spirit breathed on the seeds that were imparted by his mother. Because I don't think Moses was cared, nursed by his mother beyond being in preschool. I think he was there till he was a young child, maybe 4, 5, 6. I'm not sure exactly. We don't know exactly, okay? But I believe that as a young child, he's probably taken into Pharaoh's training system and upbringing system and with Pharaoh's daughter. But when he was a small child, I believe he heard the words of his mother singing over him. You're no ordinary child. You're a child of God. You're a Hebrew. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are your ancestors. You're not really an Egyptian. You're not really of this world. You are special. You're chosen by the Lord. God is going to use you to deliver us. God is raising you up as a purpose, with a purpose. God has special plans for your life. I just believe she spoke things like that over Moses. I don't know what exactly. But somehow it came into his heart to visit his brethren because it was already in his heart imparted as a godly heritage from his mother. You know, the things that you speak, the things that you say, even when your child is so very little, even in the womb. Dad, you get up there close to your wife's pregnant belly and say, "Hey in there, I am your father. Jesus loves you." All that kind of stuff. I'm serious about this right now. I'm being silly, but I'm also being serious. I believe that those words of blessing and declaration are seeding something prophetic into your child's life. And by the way, we could apply this just to all of our lives in terms of when we're born again spiritually and how important it is to have a Barnabas, to have somebody, and an Ananias come alongside us and speak words of life to us as a new baby believer. They're going to seed things into our life. You can apply this whole thing to being spiritual moms and spiritual dads as well. Can you say amen? So, I believe she taught these realities and sung them over her son. And you know, it's said that more is caught than taught. I think we need to teach. But what are your kids catching? What are my kids catching? What's being modeled to them? We need to model relationship with God and model a life of faith. And so it's both taught and caught. Now the next point here in your notes is that Jochebed, she had limited influence, but it was powerful influence. Moses spent less overall time with his mother than he did in Pharaoh's house. Spent more and more time in the house of Pharaoh, learning Pharaoh's wisdom, language, ways. Scripture says he was learned in all the wisdom of Egypt. Also says he was mighty in words and in deeds. By the time he was 40 years old, he was extremely eloquent. And by the time he was 80, he said, "I'm slow of speech. I've been in the desert for 40 years. I can't even talk anymore." The Lord had to teach him to depend on him later on in his life and not on his Egyptian education only. But though this was limited influence, the influence was powerful. She kept him in the flow of another river. She kept him in the flow of the river of God's presence. And the influence of faith and the presence of the Lord is more powerful than the influence of the world. It really is. And when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter and chose rather to be identified as a Hebrew. A mother, let me just say this, a mom can speak and a dad can speak over a child's life, but that child still needs to have a direct call and revelation from the Lord. Moses didn't really understand his purpose at age 40. He didn't fully understand who he was, but he knew who he wasn't. And that was a start. He knew he was a Hebrew. He knew he wasn't an Egyptian. But in terms of how he was going to be a deliverer, he tried to go after that in his own strength and his own ability, and it didn't work out too well. But he knew enough to seek the Lord. There was a heritage imparted. And you know, there's a place in a person's life that God reserves for himself to shape and to form. Parents, there's places you're going to find. Mom, there's places you're going to find in your son's life, in your daughter's life, that you don't seem to have access to. That's okay. Surrender those things over to God. Those are places that God himself wants to meet with them. They're reserved for him. Going to be shaped only by the potter. It's a place God will meet that child. Because they can't just hear it from you. They've got to hear it from him. And that's how it works. That's a good thing. So there was an impartation of godly heritage. A prayer that covered and secured Moses in the purpose of God. A faith. All of these things done by faith. By faith, an ark built. By faith, nurtured. By faith, imparted a godly heritage. And because those simple things were done by faith, they didn't end in the moment, but they continued with the powerful, ongoing influence of faith that developed and grew in his life. And there's probably a time of wondering when Moses was 13, 15, 25, 35. I wonder what will become of Moses. Maybe you're here as a parent, as a mom, wondering, I wonder where my child is at today or what's going on with them. And I want to encourage you, mom, dad, parents, never stop loving, never stop enduring, never stop praying, never stop believing. Because you presenting that child to the Lord, that ark that you built, that is a powerful thing. Even if your children are adults, out of the house, making their own choices, even if they have their own kids. The power of covenant with God as a parent is still stronger than the influence of this world system. I fully believe that with all of my heart. I really, really do. So this morning, we just really want to honor moms. We really want to honor grandmas. And we love you and we appreciate your love and your strength and your sacrifice. You're beautiful to us. We want to be those that rise up and call you blessed, like we did a little while ago, and just as Dustin led us in speaking that blessing over you. I want to just also comment on one other thing before we wrap up today. You know, when God created man, it says he created us in his image, male and female created he them. And I don't know if you've ever considered this, but it took both male and female to create man in the image of God. Like just man by himself, guys, males, was an incomplete representation of the image of God. He created man in the image of God. Male and female created he them. That means there's something about women and females and mothers that carry the image of God and something about the nature of God. You know, the scripture says in Isaiah 66:13, as one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. And you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. In Luke 13:34, Jesus says, O Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen, not a rooster, as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing. In both the Old and New Testament, we have some pictures of God. That doesn't just, not only is he our father, not only does God love you as your father, but he loves you like your mother. a nurturer, a comforter. You know, I know how it is, like, you know, when a child gets hurt, they do ask for dad sometimes. Not most of the time. Because a dad might say something like, hey, just shake it off, or what were you thinking, or why did you do that, or some dad thing like that. But a mom will kiss it and make it all better. And I appreciate both. We need to appreciate both. You need to understand, Jesus said when you pray, pray, our Father. He is our Father, but He loves you also like your mother. He loves with the nurturing, comforting, caring protection of a mom. And I think, I just feel like in my spirit, that's a word for some people today. You need to know that God loves you in that way too. Because you haven't seen that side of God or known that side of God or been able to receive grace from that side of God. That for whatever reason. And I want to encourage you to open your heart in that way. He's a God who comforts, who breathes life and breathes strongly to us. And He has the faithful, nurturing, sacrificial love for us.